We continue our learning of Ilinish Bastavi ben Menachemunish and Chan Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in the final Mishnah of Maseches Megillah, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Yud. Mishnah is coming to teach us about certain parashos in the Torah that we're not going to translate in public in Sibur. Maise Ruvain, the pasuk where we speak about Ruvain, where it says Vayelech Ruvain Vayishkaves Bilha Pilegash Aviv in Bereishis Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk of Beis. Nikra, we read that, B'tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses, but V'lomi Targum. But the Meturgamon does not translate it because we want to give proper kavod to Reuven, and some explain because of the kavod of Yaakov. Of course, that pasuk, in its literal translation, sounds like that Reuven slept with Bila. We know the Chazal's interpretation of moving the beds. We don't give a translation in public. Maaseh Tamar, the story of Yehuda and Tamar in Bereishis Perek Lamed Ches, Nikra Umetargim. We read that and we translate it, because even though Yehuda did something wrong, it's a shevach that he was modeh, and he saved Tamar, Tamar's life. And some say that the Maaseh Tamar refers to the story of Amnon and Tamar, which is, of course, from Navi. Obviously, David's children and that incest that took place. Maaseh Egel Harishon, where it says, Vayar ha'om ki voshesh Moshe loredes minahar, shmos perek lamid beis, psukim aleph through chaf, the beginning of that, where Moshe was delayed, nikra umetargim. That's something that we read and we can translate. You'll say isn't that embarrassing for the Jewish people to hear Chet Egel right after the Matan Torah? So the answer is, it's good, at least the Tzibur got a copy for that chait, and some say no, we want to be embarrassed, and hopefully we'll do tshuva. It's good to have that reminder. Vahasheni, the continuation of the Maisel Egel, which is where Aaron told Moshe what happened. That's from Pasuk, Shmos Perek Lamed Beis, Psukim Chaf Aleph to Lamed Hey, Vayomer Moshe Laharon, etc., until Vayar Moshe Sa'am, etc. That Nikra Volomitagim. Now we read, but we don't translate that in public because of the kavod of Aaron. So once again, this goes back to the practice where they had Targum. They had the translation. We read a pasuk and it was translated into Aramaic. So some of these we do not translate in public. Of course, we'll read, but not translate. Birkas Kohanim, Maaseh Dovim Na'amnon. So this is pasuk is talking about Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon and David are mentioned. Shmuel Bey is Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Aleph. So that, along and with Birkas Karnim, Lonik Kroin, Volomi Targumin. We'll have to explain what that means. What do you mean you don't read Birkas Kohanim in public? We have to read Parshas Naso. And the Mishnah, in fact, and the Gemara has a Girsa, not Lonik Kroin, Volomi Targumin, but rather Nikroin, Volomi Targumin. We do read it, we just don't translate it. And that happens to be the Girsa of the Rif and the Rush as well. And some explain Birkas Kohanim is Nikres Volomi Targames, is read, but not translated. And the Maaseh Dovim and Amnon is not read at all as a Haftorah. So that's where we split. They don't go together. Each one has a different halacha. Now, to say that Birkas Kohanim can't be read, so why not? We have to read Torah B'tzibur. We have to read the whole Torah from beginning to end. By Haftorah, of course, we're not makpid on that. We don't obviously read all of Navi. So that's not a problem to omit this section of Navi. What's the issue with Birkas Kohanim? Why would we not translate it in public? Because the pasuk says Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. So translating that sounds like that Hashem has Maaseh Panim. Hashem shows favor. There's favoritism, which we do not want to say. What's the issue with Maaseh Dovid and Amnon? Because of kavod of David. We don't want to mention that. To give proper honor to David. We don't want to mention the story with Amnon. Now the Yishalmi says that explicitly that Birkas Kohanim is not read at all, even read. Why? Because Birkas Kohanim was given for bracha and not for kriya. And the Baal Teferis Yisrael writes that maybe what the Yushalmi means is that you can't read Birkas Kohanim alone when you're reading it from the Chumash B'tzibur, from the Torah B'tzibur, but to join it with other psukim above and below, that's okay. So that way we solve the problem, what lo nikres means, but obviously we're going to read Birkas Kohanim B'tzibur, we're not going to omit a section of the Torah. Then the Mishnah says, Ein maftirin b'merkava, we should not have the Haftorah, according to the Tanakhama, of the Maaseh Merkava, which is Yecheskel Perek Aleph. People may start asking questions about Maaseh Merkava, which we'll learn when we learn Chagiga. We should not be publicizing and not explaining, because it's too difficult difficult for anyone to really comprehend. But Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says that we're not afraid. We're not afraid people are going to investigate it too much. And Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. And indeed, we do read Maaser Kava on Shavuos morning. Always a perfect time to read it when most people are sleeping anyway. Certainly, they stayed up all night, so they won't be asking any questions about the Haftarah when they're sleeping during it anyway. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein Maftirin Behoda'es Yushalayim. This is Yechezkel Perek Tezayin, which begins with Ben Adam Hoda'es Yushalayim Vesto Avosea. This is where we want to speak about the Yushalayim and all of the abominations that are taking place in the city. So the Mefarshim explain why we wouldn't read this as a Haftarah, because of Kavod Yushalayim and Kavod Am Yisrael. And that's why we should not have that as a Haftarah, although the Halacha does not follow Rabbi Eliezer. We conclude the Maseches Megillah. We move on to Maseches Moed Katan. Now, Moed Katan speaks about two issues. Number one is Chol HaMoed, the laws of Chol HaMoed, and number two are the laws of Avelus. So we begin by with a little bit of an introduction, just to understand a little bit what makes Chol HaMoed unique from a regular lay of Chol, and that is that or Yontif. So on Yontif, we know we're not allowed to do Malach in general, but on Chol HaMoed, we also should not be doing malacha. There's a machlokes rishon, and whether that malacha is doraisa or derabanan, and whether yisum malacha is doraisa derabanan chol hamoed. But we do allow what we call a davar ha'aved. I'm allowed to do work if that's going to avoid a financial loss. So that's okay. Not to be confused with what we call menias revach. If I'm not going to profit, but I'm not going to lose work, I'm not going to lose principal, so that's not allowed. If I don't go to work, I'm not going to make money. That's true. That's not, doesn't permit me to go to work on Chol HaMoed. I am allowed to do work that to prevent a potential financial loss. That is okay. We also, though, avoid what we call tercha yisera, which is excessive exertion. That has to be avoided as well. So Mishnah begins as follows. Moed Katan Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Mashkin Beis Hashlochin Bamoed Uvashvius. So here we mention Shemitah as well, and we'll see why. But here we're talking, Beis Hashlochin is a field that cannot rely only on rainwater, rainfall. It needs to be watered. If it's not watered, it's not irrigated, so then it needs, the crops are going to die. So that's what we call a Beis Hashlochin. So the Mishnah therefore says, you are allowed to water a field that needs to be irrigated on Chol HaMoed. That's going to be allowed. Why? So here, the concern, yes, we'll say, I'm not going to do malach on Chol HaMoed, but nonetheless, this is going to cause a potential financial loss. An irrigated field is going to be affected negatively, of course, if you don't water it, because rainwater, rainfall, is not going to be enough. And therefore, that should not be allowed. Now, whether this, what kind of field are we talking about? Differences between a field versus an orchard, and some make a difference between them, and some do not make a difference. Now, if you have a field that doesn't need irrigation, let's say we'll call it Beis Habal, so that's not allowed to be watered. It's not going to be improved, so it's going to stay neutral. Wouldn't it be better to water it? So the answer is that's only minus revach. That's only a loss of further profit where we're not allowed to irrigate it. Now, it's true that a person, even though a person is allowed to water an irrigated field without a shinui, right? We often employ shinuis in Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Yontif, Hilchos Chol HaMoed. So that's true, but he is permitted to do so only in a way that doesn't have tercha yisera. And we're going to learn this a little bit later, but here is an example. Let's say you redirect the water with your foot so it flows into the field. So that's okay. But using a pail, that's considered tercha yisera. So now, I'm not using my foot to create a shinui, because I don't need to employ a shinui. But at the same time, I can't use tercha yisera. So that's why I use my foot, and I draw the water that way, or we redirect the water, but you're not permitted to use a pail. And the Mishnah allows you to water a beis hashlochin, a field that needs to be irrigated, not only on Chol HaMoed, but also Bashvius, even in the Shemitah. And the Tana allows farmers to water their fields during the Shemitah, even though you're not allowed to work the fields. So why is that? So the prohibition against watering a field anyway is only the Rabbanon. So if not watering it is now going to cause the plants to suffer, you're allowed to irrigate it. So that's a Chachamim don't allow it if it's going to cause a financial loss. Now, there is a machlokas whether during the Shemitah the Tana is allowing you to irrigate a field that even can Once we allow this, maybe am I allowed to irrigate a field that can rely on rainfall alone? Sounds simple interpretation of the mission is that no, we wouldn't allow that. So some say that you're that would be allowed. Although the simple reading of the Mishnah is Mashkin Beis Hashlochin Bamoed Uvashvius, and we're referring to only a Beis Hashlochin and not anything else, even in the Shemitah year. And the Mishnah says this is true. Bein mi mayon sheyotza batchila, whether from a spring that has just begun to flow. And bein mi mayon shelo yotza batchila, or mayon, a spring that has not just begun to flow. What's the issue here? So the Bartanur just makes the point. He says, what's yotza batchila? Sheyotze achshav mitchila. It's a spring that has just begun to flow. And what's the concern? The concern is, if it's just begun to flow, maybe I should be afraid that the walls are going to collapse, and then you're going to repair it. So the chiddush of the mission is that I'm not worried about that. I'm not concerned. Ain't says about Tanura, ain't choshishin hovil v'chadashu shema yiplu gidosav v'asil itakin b'moed v'ikotircha. And of course, if the mayon is lo yasa batchila, we see it already has flowed many times, and we've tested its use, and we know that we don't have to worry about it collapsing. That's certainly okay. But the chiddush is, you can water the field, the Beis HaShlachim that needs irrigation in Moed, on Chol HaMoed, in Shvius, even if you're using a mayon that has just begun to flow, and we're not concerned that the walls are going to collapse and you're going to fix them. Aval, ein mashkin lo mimei hageshamim velo mimei hakilon. But you're not allowed to water irrigated fields with rainwater or water from a cistern. So what's the concern here? So here, we're worried that these activities may lead to a tercha yisera. So they will not apply to Shemitah, where we don't make a distinction between something that has tircha yisera or not. It's only a concern for Chol HaMoed. When it comes to Shemitah, where the work that we don't allow is only related to planting, growing, harvesting, tircha yisera, strenuous labor, things like that, they're allowed as long as they have nothing to do with producing the crops. But here, when it comes to Chol HaMoed, we say, ein mashkin lo mimei hagshamim, rainwater accumulates in a pond. So then you want to divert it into the field. So the Mishnah here says that I'm not allowed, if I have this, I'm not permitted, says the Bar Tanura, lo mimei hagshamim, what's the problem with using rainwater? Gizera mishum mei kilon. Because I'm afraid if I do that, I may also use water from a cistern. So at first glance, we would say, if I have this rainwater that accumulates in a pond, so I'm just going to divert that rainwater to a field. So that's not tercha at all. But that's what the Bar Tanura was saying. Yes, that's not a strenuous activity. But if I allow you to do that, you may confuse that with using the water drawn from a cistern. That you need a pail, that both are rainwater. So I may end up, if I'm able to use the mei geshamim that are in a pond, I may use the mei kilon from the cistern, and that's going to involve a tercha yaser, and therefore the Mishnah does not allow that. And then the Mishnah concludes, vein osin ugios lagfanim. You're not allowed to make ditches around grapevines. That's around the roots of the vines. You want to collect rainwater in that area, in those ditches. So that's considered something that is requires tercha yaser, which is not allowed. Now that applies also only to Chol HaMoed. During Shemitah, midrabanan, we said that you're allowed to do labor if there's a concern of loss, and it doesn't matter whether that involves tercha yaser or not.